Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Betches Media presents.
Donald Trump was a stain on our country.
I am someone's daughter, too.
That's what I'm talking about.
So help me God. Congratulations, Mr. President.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking.
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberin.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. Last week, we gave you some preview content of Elise's Bachelorette, so I feel like it's only fair to offer a follow-up to the extent you would like to share. Did you enjoy yourself, bride-to-be?
Oh, it was wonderful. Rhode Island truly is the calamari capital of the United States. I ate calamari while I was there. It was just a really interesting thing to go on a vacation with a group of people again. I mean, like, everyone was vaccinated and all that stuff, but I did send out an email to like everyone who was coming the day before that was like, I know this is a lot of socialization, so
yes,
please
true. Know
that everyone is free to like go back to their room or like chill out or take a nap or like
That's
go
so
do their
nice.
Own thing. Like, I just because I was like,
you can't, yeah,
you
can't. So you can retroactively say three things. You can take three things back and we'll forget that you ever said that.
Yes,
awkward,
actually a very good rule. Yeah, you can retroactively take back three things that you said and we will forgive you.
Yeah,
because I feel like anytime I get drunk, I just spend the next day being like, does everybody hate me? Did I talk too much?
So I wanted to leave a lot of space for the fact that, number one, some of these people, all good friends of mine, but are meeting for the first time.
Right,
like,
right.
You're meeting for the first time. You're sleeping in a house with them for 3 days. Like, I commend everyone who attended my bachelorette, but no one killed anybody and everything was pretty chill the entire time. We ate some good seafood. We went on a boat ride.
Amazing.
The mask situation in Rhode Island was zero. I would say, I know at one point Millie went into like a grocery store to get something and the guy was like, and she like had her mask on and the guy was like, you don't have to have that on. And then he was like, the entire state is vaccinated. And I was like, well, that's false. But
no, we know for a fact that Vermont is the most vaccinated.
I was like, well, actually Vermont is the most vaccinated state and they're only at 80% of people being partially or fully vaxxed. So there's no way that this entire state is vaccinated, but I don't think that getting in a fight with a man who's making me a croissant sandwich needs to happen. So
remember when like the governors of Rhode Island and New York were fighting because Rhode Island was like, y'all can't come. And we were like, yes, we can. New Yorkers can do whatever they want. Cuomo was like, I'm not going to let you oppress New Yorkers. And we're all like, yeah, that was a weird time.
Yeah.
It was weird.
But I love Rhode Island. And our boat captain told us a story about Jackie Kennedy's house that he pointed out. And it was really interesting, but I can't repeat it because we actually found out later that he is a liar and a scammer.
Oh, and he made
the story up.
Oh, no.
Wow.
I mean, it sounds like the best story.
Did you see Taylor Swift's house?
I did not see Taylor Swift's house. I believe Taylor Swift's house has a house in Hyannisport, which is like the Kennedys' ancestral home. Providence, Newport area is the Bouvier's ancestral home, which is Bouvier.
Big distinction.
The back of her house. And he told us that this little lighthouse was actually her dollhouse, but I looked it up and I haven't found any information about that. And he said it had a dog elevator for her dog. And I looked it up and I haven't found any information about that either. So I think I was told
the truth.
Scam, scam, scam.
What is the truth?
Yes.
About Jackie Kennedy's dollhouse.
And this segment of the podcast has been brought to you by the Tourism Board of the State of Rhode Island.
Yeah.
I wish. That would actually be the most native
content we could do. So I'm going to put that on the table. Tourism board, as if you're listening, we will talk about, happy to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah,
send us to your state and we will talk about what we ate there.
Perfect. So today we are going to focus most of our discussion on the New York City mayor's race, which is 1 week away today on Tuesday. But first, I wanted to spend a few minutes talking about a story that I had not encountered until Elise put it on the newsletter. But if we're going to talk about it on the podcast, today is the day with you two. You're the ones I want to talk to about it. But executives reportedly rejected a scene in DC Entertainment's animated Harley Quinn series depicting oral sex between Batman and Catwoman for the show's third season. In a new interview, the show's co-creator said that DC told them of the scene, "You can't do that. You absolutely cannot do that. Heroes don't do that." And then he says they replied, "Are you saying heroes are just selfish lovers?" To which DC replied, "No, it's that we sell consumer toys for heroes. It's hard to sell a toy if Batman is also going down on somebody."
All children do with their DC toys is make them go down on each other.
Absolutely.
Like, that is, that, like, all children are making their DC toys, their Batmans, their Catwomans, their Harley Quinns. They are all, it's a big, big orgy in that.
That's all they do, I mean, is scissor. That's all I did with mine is make them scissor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, when I was a little girl, I had like 10, 15 Barbies and one Ken. And it got messy in that dream house.
It was the Bachelor.
I'll tell you, it was the Bachelor of every day was fantasy suites. He's just going from room to room.
Yeah, mine was definitely a paradise situation.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, is it for children?
The show, it's that's not for what children. I want to talk about. The show is not for children, but the characters, I guess, are based. I think that's what people like about the show is that the characters are villainous and they're like sexual. But they're part of obviously the broader universe and the people you generally sell toys to. But my question is, yeah, like, how are kids finding out that Batman likes to perform cunnilingus and why are they opposed to that?
I think it's also interesting. Like, I mean, I know that people watch animated porn, but that's, I guess that's a whole other topic of discussion, but I guess it's fine. So I don't know. I guess I was feeling weird about consent, but they're not real people. They're drawn by a person. I don't even know.
You don't even need an intimacy coordinator. I just think it's so funny that they said this and DC is going to be like, dude, you can't talk about our meetings.
I just think it's really funny. Like, if you're going to make, because it's like the R-rated Harley Quinn series, then it's like, I mean, you probably couldn't sell toys based on any of the stuff these characters are doing in the show. I haven't watched the show, but it's just odd to have these characters be like doing R-rated things and but say like going down on a woman is a bridge too far. Like, they can't they can do other bad stuff.
Normal
but for
missionary
some reason,
sex, normal hetero missionary sex is no problem. Anything else is unseemly for a superhero.
Exactly. Like, if any of it gets like, back to the kids, it's like, okay, I mean, they watched an episode of something they shouldn't have watched and they saw Batman doing some things that they didn't expect him to do. But it's just so odd to single out one particular sex act.
It's like, let's not sexualize these animated things that we have drawn into with voluptuous breasts and ass and like full pecs and like tight ass, like latex nipples. And then the nipples.
Even the cleanest cartoons.
All of those toys are so hot. They're like so hot. And they're like, so of course
the kids jam
like,
them together.
Yeah. Like, you're the one doing, you're the one sexualizing. We need a fat Batman.
Pete Holmes, the comedian, actually had a long running series on Funny or Die, I believe. And the premise was fat Batman. So
we need a fat Batman who gives good head.
Exactly. And just cuddles with you at the end. And it's a beautiful thing. And like, he's of average wealth. And like, so we need Batman to just be kind of like a regular middle-class like guy.
He's got some student loans.
He can still be rich. Yeah. Maybe like, I just need to see what hit. I actually need to know what Batman's paying in taxes before I can say one way or another, like what's going on there, because I do need to know if he's paying his fair share. And the same thing goes for Iron Man.
Yeah, we need to know his marginal tax rate. Absolutely.
Yeah, and like, is he getting tax breaks for making the Iron Man suit? Like, are my taxes going to that? Like, how my taxes are going to pay for, like, Bezos to go to space or whatever? Like, they get grants from NASA.
I feel like we're getting into Marvel territory. Like,
I guess you're right. I don't know. I don't know the way the two interact.
Yeah.
I mean, the only other thing I want to add is that I just feel bad for the DC exec's wife who said that. Like, that sucks for her, and I hope that she's getting what she needs elsewhere.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So speaking of superheroes defending Gotham, mm-hmm. we have a potential opportunity to elect a new one. I mean, who am I kidding? This is, I feel like we're going to talk about the New York mayor's race. And I feel like we're going to talk about the person who in about 6 months, we're all going to be profoundly disappointed in.
Mm-hmm. Hard to be mayor of New York.
Well, very
I think,
hard.
I think like, also like, most of our listeners don't indeed live in New York. However,
chunk do, you know, our biggest chunk does.
A big chunk too, but also whoever becomes New York mayor becomes a national figure. I mean, look at the ones we've had. We've had Rudy Giuliani. We've had Mike Bloomberg just recently, you know, like, so
yeah,
this is a stepping stone for a national stage. That's why it's important to pay attention to no matter where you really are.
Yeah, that's a good point. And on a lot of subjects, especially one that I've heard talked about a lot more in terms of the mayor's race, especially in the last couple of weeks and as we get into summer, is crime and policing. Because I feel like people do really look to the new NYPD and its relationship with the government and the people for just police reform nationwide. Not that we're like doing a good job, but it is such a big police force with such a complex role that there's mm-hmm. a lot of exploring to do. So as I said, the New York City mayoral primary is officially 1 week away. Brian, you voted already, I think, right?
I did.
Exciting. I'm going to wait because my early is so far away.
Yeah, I'm just like, my voting, my actual voting day polling place is across the street.
Yeah, same.
And my early one is like, mm-hmm. I mean, my early one's like a 10-minute walk away, but I'm like, I'm just going to.
Yeah, I have no weight on election day, so I'm sure I'll be fine. But after many months of trying to keep track of a pretty crowded field with one scandal after the next, it seems progressives in and outside the city have consolidated their support around one candidate in particular, and that's Maya Wiley. So she
sup guest
Maya Wiley. We're going to push that episode in the feed again mm-hmm. this weekend because it's an excellent interview. Mm-hmm. Sammy did an amazing job because it covers basically all of the topics in a super honest way. So if you live in New York or you care about this race, listen to that. We're going to push it on Sunday. She's worked in the U.S. Attorney's Office and I'd say is most known for being Bill de Blasio's counsel for several years. She's also a former MSNBC analyst and would be the first Black woman mayor of New York City. Let's talk about some polling. So New York is doing ranked choice. I think we've talked about that before, but you're going to rank. Do we have three chances? You rank your top three or is it five?
Five.
I'm considering writing my own name in for five.
There you go.
That's hilarious. At least just writes Morales and is like, take a guess.
Yeah. I only did three though. I didn't want to like, I didn't know enough about all, like enough to write five, but I knew enough that I didn't want to put them at all, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does make sense. And you know what? I was trying to say about this morning. And I've been saying that for several weeks, and this is what we'll talk about. But I'm finding the more I learn, the less I want to rank additional people. Mm-hmm. So New York is doing ranked choice, which means it could be potentially hard to infer how these polling numbers are going to translate into who comes out on top on June 22nd or however long it takes to count the numbers. But new polling this week shows former sanitation department leader Catherine Garcia and former police captain and current Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams fairly close, but Adams is pretty far ahead. He's at like 23%. Catherine Garcia is at 17% and Maya Wiley is in third, although I did see some polls over the weekend show her in second. Some other polls I saw, I guess they say they know how it can turn out even with ranked choice, which shows Eric Adams kind of running away with it. But, you know, it's really hard to predict. So how did we get here? I think for many, many months, Dr. Scott Stringer was in the lead. He's our comptroller, and he was definitely an early leader because he scored tons of endorsements from progressives, unions, influential organizations, just a Democrat who had a lot of goodwill in city government and just across industries here and the unions. Then several women, or at least one woman, came forward to accuse him of sexual harassment a few decades ago when they were working with him. And so many of his endorsements were withdrawn, and many have since gone to Maya Wiley. Diana Morales is also a really promising candidate for progressives, but she has also been plagued by some issues with her campaign that beg some questions about what kind of leader she would be. She's been described as the most left-leaning in the field, which is probably why her campaign was so vulnerable to some accusations of union busting and toxic workplaces, because she was really the candidate, or is really the candidate, who was promising to really stand up to those kind of toxic elements of all of our society. But her campaign manager and several other high-level staffers resigned with some pretty pointed statements. To me, it sort of sounded like she had hired some people from outside that just weren't working well with her staff. Some people felt completely like there were misconduct issues, people said, and there was just some really toxic leadership that just wasn't addressed. And so a few leaders of the union effort were basically fired after starting it. So they started a union effort. Elise, I actually found your point on this the most compelling I've heard, because I'm inclined to give Diana Morales the benefit of the doubt here, but I think it's so telling that even the people that supported her the most chose not to, which is a point you made, and that reframed it for me. That is unsettling.
Yeah, you know, it's been difficult to like watch what has gone on with Diana Morales, because on the one hand, you know, I want to be careful that when we have a progressive Latina Black candidate that maybe we expect too much of them. I think that that can happen with candidates. Stacey Abrams on Z-Way's show was just talking about like when you put someone on such high a pedestal, it's like where you there's a lot long farther to fall. But what pushed things over the edge for me is just like these people are supposed to be your stands. They're your supporters. Mm-hmm. They're your primary supporters. Like, those are the earliest, staniest stands that you're going to get. And to have so many of them en masse leave without even like me really hearing like a counter contingency other than like Morales.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
Also,
her response has been kind of like, she's like, I don't know. She's sort of like, I'm sorry. I don't really know. I made some mistakes, but it's just a shitty situation. Go ahead,
Brian. That to me, bare minimum, is just a leadership issue.
Yeah. And the fact that it's happening so close to the actual election that like they couldn't even be like, you know what, we're going to stick it out for you.
Exactly.
Until the election day. But then we're done, you know, like, as you know what I mean? Because they could have. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Right. Because if they felt strongly, I mean, like, we've seen a lot of things change. So there's no reason not to believe that in the last couple of weeks, Diana Morales could have soared ahead. And the people, people work for campaigns for a lot of reasons. But a big one is so you can get a job in that administration. So they even were like, that's not even worth it to me.
And we didn't see all of those big endorsements come until after that whole story happened. You know, there was the Julian Castro, then there was AOC, and it was like Elizabeth Warren. And I was like, okay, so this is who the progressives are, for Maya Wiley, I mean.
Yeah.
When they all came out, because I feel like they were all waiting. They didn't know which way.
Yeah, I was thinking, really, do you guys think that's a result of, I feel like in just so many races, you know, have done so many things that things come out over time. And now I think people are just waiting to endorse. They're like, I'm not going to do it until 3 weeks out when I know journalists have probably found everything they're going to find.
I think that's fair. I think that they were probably weighing it. I was noticing that there was some influencers on Instagram that they, before this all happened and before the endorsements, I was seeing a lot of Diana Morales support. And now I'm seeing a lot of those same people switch to Maya Wiley's.
Yeah, totally. I've also seen politics is so toxic, but around the time that this did come out about Diana Morales, I just felt like I saw a lot of really good dialogue around it. Like people that are like into politics that also have a lot of people just posting why they made a choice, whether it was their choice was going to continue to rank her first and how they came to that or not. And I found that to be super powerful because the role, I was going to maybe discuss today on today's show, the role of identity politics in this race, because I'm not really sure what it is, but we can discuss that on a show where it's not the three white hosts, but I think it's playing
probably good,
but I think it's playing a little bit of an unusual role here because things aren't really falling how they normally would. So let's talk about the last two big candidates, and then I want to hear you guys' thoughts about where you went on this. So Andrew Yang and Eric Adams, I'd say have been characterized as the pro-business, pro-corporate, even maybe pro-police candidates. Adams was in the New York Police Department for 2 decades, and he served as a captain. But he is a Black man, if you didn't know, and he's been pretty critical about how the government approaches policing. The Police Captains Association has actually endorsed Yang, but that should tell you a lot about how uninterested Yang is in police reform or defunding. In terms of Yang's background, he ran a nonprofit and does not have any political experience apart from when he ran for president with his very novel UBI idea that he sort of brought into the mainstream. So
universal basic income.
Right, right. So yeah. I guess that brings me to the topic that I just mentioned, which is the role of the police and crime, which feels like it's taken on heightened significance in the past couple of weeks. I mean, as I was looking into this, I don't read the New York Post, but every headline they have is like, nasty thugs unleash crime on the city. Like, we need Yang to stop it now. And I think I underestimated how widespread that perspective is, even among people. Obviously, the people that suffer from crime the most are people in those communities. So, I feel like this, the crime, quote unquote, is playing more of a role in this than I expected when this race really started heating up.
I agree. And I also think that this is a reason why I think that this New York mayoral race is an important thing to talk about, even for people who aren't in New York, because this crime thing, this is going to be the thing for all of the elections going forward. It's already happening with Val Demings versus Marco Rubio in Florida, which God bless to that. I really hope
she's also a cop. Yeah.
She's literally a cop, but
she's like a top cop.
Absolutely was a police officer.
Yeah.
But we're dealing with this, this push and pull of the fact that, like, we have been going through a reckoning on policing in America. Many, many Americans want to see changes to our police departments, how they're funded, how they're trained, et cetera. And at the same time, statistically, crime is on the rise in a lot of places. I know New York is one of those places. So it does feel like a preview of this kind of delicate thing that Democrats are going to have to do, of being like, you know, obviously we don't want there to be more crime, but also trying to face the realities that we need to change the way our policing is done in the country.
It's, you know, it's the way so crime has always been here. Crime has come and gone in New York for decades, you know. And the solution, as we all know here on this podcast, is not more policing. It's social reforms to, you know, help reduce the people who become criminals, who do commit crimes. And so, I mean, it's just, you know, the same old rhetoric. It's old as time, but I did realize that I am so not clued into this because until someone texted me and they're like, do you take the subway at night? And I was like, sometimes, I guess. And they're like, well, just please, like, be really, really careful. And I'm like, I've lived in New York for like 11 years. Yeah. You know what I mean? But like, and I've never had any issues ever, you know, on the subway. So
I was thinking that yesterday. I was like, and I'm sure this is what the outrage is designed to do, is I was like, am I supposed to be scared? Like, I have not felt fear. And that's also because I live in neighborhoods that are well funded, and like, I there's not crime in my neighborhood. But do you guys think that's why? Have you been are you surprised that Eric Adams is in the lead? And do you think that the crime element and his background as a police officer factors in?
Not really, because you know, I have an older boyfriend who has older friends who live in a different circle than we all, you know, and are on different, like, you know, I don't know, whatever places in our lives in New York. And early on, bringing up the mayoral race, and they were all Andrew Yang. And they were, now I'm starting to hear some that are like, not the gay ones. These are, I'm talking about like the women mostly. And no offense to anyone, but it's just what the way it is. And Eric Adams, I think I'm hearing that a lot too. So I kind of was like, oh, I'm like, there's so many different New Yorks that.
Yeah, it is really interesting. I mean, the mayoral race has really underscored what you just said for me. Like, there are so many New Yorks, because in my social circles, I mean, I haven't heard anyone say shit about Eric Adams, but he's been the front runner of the race the entire time. And like, I feel like I personally haven't encountered anything about him anywhere, seen him, whatever, but it does just really make you think. I do feel like he maybe feels like the compromise candidate a little bit, like that he's not as disinterested in New York life as Andrew Yang.
As Andrew Yang is.
That was such a nice way to put it.
Andrew Yang came in like with such a head start, with such good name recognition, and he just like statement after statement.
It's actually really impressive how much he chipped away at the goodwill that he had. This is the fact that he is in fourth now.
Yeah, I mean, he said his favorite subway station was Times Square. Yeah. That's
and he's
insane.
Just been so transparently trying to play up the crime element too. Because like, it's ahead of summer, they're saying like, you guys don't want fireworks, you don't want this, you don't want that. Like, they're just trying to play. And obviously Maya Wiley has said things about potentially looking at the police budget. That's why the interview with Sammy is so good. Because they do like, she does address, she's like, nobody, it's not good for you and it's not good for me if there is an unhoused person having a mental episode on your street. Like, that's not good for them. It's not good for the city. It's not good for you. It's not good for anyone's morale. Like, we need to get that person, like, help. We need to, you know, it costs $3,000. Now I'm obsessed. I finally started looking at this race, but it costs $3,000 a month to put somebody in a homeless shelter at night, a congregate homeless shelter. You can get, like, that's a studio apartment in some parts of the
city.
Yeah,
I'm like, what?
Put them in a house, really people.
If we're putting them in a shelter for that, it's like, get them a two-bedroom. Like, that's
right.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
But so, I mean, I would say that, like, there, I think we're going to see in the next couple weeks a ton of, like, real demonizing of Maya Wiley as, like, a person that's going to continue, like, letting all of this crime go wild. And, like, when there's crime, like, when there's, like, a shooting on a street or something, it's that street that's shut down. It's like, oh, maybe it's some white people in Manhattan are like, oh, no, it's scary crime. And then they'll vote for Eric Yang. But it's also, it's really detrimental to the people that live on that street and work on that street. And, like, of course, if, like, that's affecting whether they can go to their, like, wage job or whether people frequent that area, they're going to be pissed and they're going to vote for the person that's saying they're going to address that. And I think Eric Adams seems like the person who will do that, but isn't like too much of a corporate. And I don't know if that's because of his race or because of his policies, but I think that's sort of like what he's shaping up to look like. But it looks like he might like totally run away with this. I think we're all comfortable saying, I'm going to rank Maya first.
Yeah, I'm ranking Maya first.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm ranking Maya first, and then I'm going to do Catherine Garcia second.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we didn't really mention much about her, but she's great. I love her. She ran the sanitation department, and I saw somebody say, somebody was going in on her being like, oh, Eric Adams was like, well, look at the streets, they're filthy, which they are, because the mayor has cut the budget for the sanitation department. Like, that's not her, and she doesn't even run it anymore.
If you are able to travel to other cities, and when you compare New York to other cities, like any other major city, you're like, why is it so fucking gross here?
It's kind of gross right now. Yeah.
I learned a fact about early New York that I think about all the time, which is that like in the 1800s, when like before cars, when there was all horses, the major issue of New York City was that eventually they were running out of, and eventually would run out of, places to put all the horse poop.
Oh my God.
And it was like overflowing in the streets, and like it was becoming a major issue. And like, like thinkers of the day were like on this issue, trying to figure out like, what are we going to do with all this horse shit? And then they just invented cars, and it ended up not being an issue anymore. But I feel like that's like how New York deals with everything.
New York almost got buried in horse shit. I mean, it is true.
It's like, someone has got to do something about all this horse shit.
Yeah.
Completely. I know, it sounds like when Bill Gates was like, we'll give $1 million to the first person that comes up with like a comfortable condom or something, which is like, they're already comfortable, Bill.
Fine. Yeah.
Sorry, you don't want to
wear a condom, Bill. God.
Yeah. Maybe they're not comfortable for the men, but it's fine for the women.
Yeah, like, yeah, you're fine.
We're all dealing with it. It's fine.
We're all dealing with the fact that having sex causes procreation, Bill. Thank you. Mm-hmm. We will be keeping you updated on this and keep an eye out for that Maya Wiley episode. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Brian Russell-Smith.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast. Bye.
The Betches Sup podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com.
Betches.